Week 7 is here. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Bengals Beat podcast. Lindsey Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. It's a Thursday night football. Then you have a debate coming on tonight too. So looking forward to everything on TV tonight.
Tyler, I have no idea what you're talking about. Tonight might be the worst Thursday night football game in the history of Thursday night football. That's my opinion personally.
Well, you know, I added the debate plus Thursday night football. So you can take that out however you want it.
Okay.
We'll get back to football again. Week 7 here, round 2, Cincinnati looking for win number 2 of the season when they take on the Cleveland Browns at Paul Brown Stadium. But you guys, we recorded a podcast on Tuesday night, and a lot has happened ever since. We'll start with the wide receiver room right now. John Ross reports he wants out of Cincinnati. Here's my thing when it comes to trades. Other teams have to be interested if you are going to leave a team or if a team is going to trade you. Look, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but with John Ross, does it make sense to trade him? 100%. He had one snap in the game where he was active after having healthy scratches for 3 straight weeks for the Cincinnati Bengals to be determined if he'll be active in week 7, which I don't see that happening if Auden Tate can go. But I get where John Ross is coming from. And look, he could go to another team and just be an amazing wide receiver. Other teams need speed. This team has a deep wide receiver room. We know that. We're not breaking any news here. And the way that T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and even A.J. Green played last week, they're doing okay when it comes to their starting wide receivers. What do you guys think the Cincinnati Bengals should do for Ross?
First of all, I got to recognize that you've been throwing shade this week, and I kind of like it. This is good. This is new. This is not all optimistic Lindsay now. This is, you know, I throw shade every now and then. I'll throw darts, Lindsay. I'm kind of feeling this. Who can blame you? I mean, this team has won 3 games since we started covering the team officially. So, you know, to answer your question, John Ross, it's tough because this team cannot throw the ball deep. They need a vertical threat. Now, Joe Burrow doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. So, you know, that's another issue. But, you know, having John Ross in the field, you know, there's a threat that you can get beat vertically. His agent did call the team and, you know, requested for a trade. I don't think they're going to grant him that. But, you know, as far as if teams want John Ross, teams don't want to give up assets because they know the Bengals aren't going to retain John Ross after the season and he's going to hit free agency. So they can just get him, you know, on the open market when he's a free agent. I just see it playing out that he's going to have a quiet season. He'll be maybe active some games and inactive for a majority of the games, but I don't see the Bengals trading him. If they did, or, you know, at the end of the season, looking on in the future here, I would like to see John Ross maybe, and I tweeted this, in Kansas City with all those speedsters on the outside. I think the Houston Texans would be a good option for him with Deshaun Watkins. He's a West Coast guy, so maybe the San Francisco 49ers or the Las Vegas Raiders. Still weird saying Las Vegas, by the way. But, you know, yeah, the Raiders are another team I can see John Ross, you know, maybe fitting in.
So John Ross falls into a similar camp, I think, as Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, as guys who were inherited from the Marvin Lewis regime and whose the coaching staff has kind of changed their tune on, changed their opinion on over the last year, 6 months especially. 12 months ago, John Ross started week 1 for the Cincinnati Bengals against the Seattle Seahawks and was a huge part of the game plan. Last season, Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins were very big pieces of what the Bengals were doing on defense. It's not like Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo and on offense, Brian Callahan came in and said, we don't see these guys as pieces in the scheme we want to build. That has changed. So again, just like Geno and Carlos, I see the coaching staff having made a decision and a conclusion about John Ross with the new information that they've gained over the last 14 months. As a result, I don't see him playing a ton for the Bengals this season. And I think we're all on the same page, or I guess Tyler's maybe not on the same page, but I would be all in for the Bengals trading John Ross. even for a seventh round pick. It's funny, I was thinking Marcus Bailey has contributed much more to the Cincinnati Bengals this year than John Ross had. Bailey had that one game where he came in because Logan Wilson was out. I remember Bailey ended up speaking to the media on Monday because he played so well, and he had a lot to say about that positive performance. John Ross hasn't had a game like that this season. So any value, I think, for someone who the coaches have decided to go away from would be good value.
Yeah, you know, I agree that the Bengals should trade him, but to Lindsay's point, I don't think teams are clamoring to get him because they know that he is going to hit free agency at the end of the season. So they don't even want to give up a sixth or a seventh round asset for him when they know they can get him when he's in the open market.
And of course, the Bengals don't make trades, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, and we'll get to some other unhappy campers right now. And we talked about it on Tuesday's podcast, and it's up on Cincinnati.com, so you're going to want to go check it out. Tyler Dragon does have it when he talks about Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. No surprise right now. There's a little bit of frustration. We talked about Carlos Dunlap's Instagram Live. Dave Lapham, I listened to him recently with Dan Horde in their podcast, and Dave Lapham talked about the Geno Atkins situation, and he said that it could be that the medical staff is telling the coaches to maybe limit some of his reps because he's not fully healed with his shoulder. He truly believes that Geno Atkins does want to be out there. So Geno wants to play, but the medical staff could be making him limited right now. And that could lead to a little bit of frustration.
Okay. I have heard that Geno Atkins has been frustrated with his role. He won't be vocal about it and won't admit it publicly because he doesn't really like to talk to the media. But if you look at where Geno Atkins is taking his limited snaps, Geno Atkins has made a name for himself and has been a Pro Bowler as a three technique defensive tackle. When he is playing in his limited snaps, the 18 and 19 snaps that he was in the last two games, the majority of the time he's in there as the nose tackle, as, you know, a one technique defensive tackle. So that's not the position that he thrives at. That's not a position that he, I mean, I won't say he's uncomfortable with that position, but that's not where he's used to. And that's not what made him a perennial Pro Bowler. So that's why I have heard he is a little bit frustrated with, you know, the way that the Bengals are using him. And then also, yes, injuries are frustrating. When you're injured, you're not happy. You're going to be frustrated. And this was his first, you know, major injury since suffering a torn ACL in 2013. So that's why I've heard that Geno Atkins is frustrated. And I mean, we all know why Carlos Dunlap is frustrated, because after my article, he went on Instagram Live and said it. So I don't really have to address that one. So what do you think, Lindsay?
I think in this situation, I get there's frustration because it's year 11 for both of them. Nobody ever thought if this is it in Cincinnati, which I truly don't think so, because if the Cincinnati Bengals try to trade them, they have to find a willing participant who wants to pick it up. At the same time, I don't think that that's out there. Again, there are things happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. It could be John Ross. It could be Geno Atkins. It could be Carlos Dunlap. We know Carlos isn't happy. I think when we don't hear from Geno Atkins and he's just not a guy who communicates to the media, we don't know his thoughts, but could they be voiced to someone? Yes, they could be voiced to someone who gets the reports and reports them. But we don't know. We don't know exactly how both of them are feeling or what's going on. My question is this locker room lost?
I don't think this locker room is lost. There are a lot of players in that locker room who believe in Zach Taylor, believe that this team is headed in the right direction. They just have, you know, a long way to go. They're at the infancy stages of rebuilding. And, you know, when you're rebuilding in the AFC North division with the likes of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the likes of the Ravens and even the Cleveland Browns, it's going to look bad. You know, when you're 1-4-1 and every other team in the division has a winning record. So it is it's frustrating for them all because they're losing, but they know that this is going to be a process. And I mean, if you asked them one-on-one, took them to the side and nobody was around, did you really think you were going to go 11-5 this season, 12-4, they'll probably say no. They'll be shocked if they had a winning record like that. So, you know, I just think that everybody needs to come to the realization that this team is in rebuild mode and it's going to take a while for them to turn things around. So everybody has to lower, as from a fan's perspective, fans have to lower their, you know, their perspective and, you know, their expectations and just think, okay, how is this team getting better each week? And where do I see the improvements on the offensive line, the improvements from Joe Burrow, the improvements at the running back position, the improvements from T. Higgins, and then the defense, the improvement from the young linebackers in the secondary. So that's the expectation that I believe fans should have. They should just switch it from, oh, we're losing and we're losing, getting blown out, or we're breaking, you know, collapsing 21-point leads. It's how they are playing week in and week out, because at least, I mean, we didn't expect the Bengals to have a winning record, and I don't think, you know, fans should expect the Bengals to have a winning record either.
So I thought Zach Taylor said something very interesting on Wednesday when he was kind of asked for his message to the fans with a 3-18-1 record that he has to this point. And as a part of a very long answer, Zach Taylor had a line that said, we can't sacrifice long-term culture that the Bengals are trying to build for short-term gains in wins sometimes. And that made me think about who the captains on this Bengals team are. It's, of course, Joe Burrow. And in addition to that, several new pieces, including Von Bell and Josh Bynes. These are guys who we have spoken to probably more than anyone else during the season. Guys who, especially Joe Burrow, gave answers almost identical to what Zach Taylor is saying. And guys who don't seem frustrated, who clearly don't seem to have completely lost faith in the coaching staff. So when you look at, you know, the new core of leaders and the new core of young players that we've discussed and argued about on this podcast, the Jesse Bateses, the Will Jacksons, the Joe Mixons, those guys don't seem to be in a position where they're extremely, you know, having completely lost faith in the coaching staff. Those guys aren't lost. And again, well, we can have a separate conversation about Geno Atkins's frustration and Carlos Dunlap's frustration. It seems like the guys who this franchise is continuing to build for are doing fine for now. That might change if the Bengals end up at 115-1 or even, you know, 107-1 heading into the bye week. But we'll see what happens.
Winning changes everything, you guys. Winning changes the mindset, winning changes social media, winning changes the fans' mood, winning changes the players in the locker room. And I don't know if it's just stringing a couple together. And look, it's not going to get easy because you play Cleveland, even though they're 4-2, and it could be a smokescreen when you look at their schedule and some of their wins. But you got the Titans and the Steelers coming right after that. So it's not going to be easy. And we knew this team was probably going to put together 5 or 6 wins, and we've talked about it. And Charlie, I think he brought up a good point on the last podcast. He feels like this team is worse than they were 6 weeks ago. And yeah, we can point in injuries and say that list is pretty long and they're hurting on defense. But I think now it's about finishing football games. This team has to learn how to finish a football game. And they're not the worst team in the NFL. Even if their record shows that right now is a pretty poor team, 1 win and a tie and you have 4 losses. But I think it's all about, it's just that next win. It's really just that next win. It's so generic to say, and it's not going to be easy on Sunday, but that's who's next.
Well, I don't see the next win coming Sunday. I don't see it coming the next Sunday. Then they have a bye week. I guess that's a win for them. And then I don't see it coming the Sunday after that. So.
Well, there's some truth there. That's to be determined. But now it's prediction time. The Cincinnati Bengals week 7. It's crazy to think it's the last one against the Cleveland Browns already. A lot of divisional play over the next 3 weeks. When you look at this game, I don't think it's going to be a disaster like it was Thursday night, week 2. But I don't see this team getting a win. I'm going to go 28-17. There's just something about Kareem Hunt. It's not even Baker Mayfield, because Baker Mayfield actually looks successful when he plays against the Bengals defense, but it's Kareem. That's who I'd be worried about. And then you look at Myles Garrett on the other side and that pressure. So I'm actually going to take the Browns in this one. The Bengals are going to fall 28-17.
Bengals have made Lindsay not optimistic anymore, and that's saying something.
What do you want me to say?
So I actually have the game a little bit closer than you have it. You know, I do think that Joe Mixon will play. He hasn't practiced the last 2 practices because of a foot injury, but I think that it's just cautionary. And, you know, he has had success against the Browns, albeit last season. And then Joe Burrow played pretty well, you know, against Cleveland in that week two battle. But overall, the Browns, they have the top ranked rushing offense in the league, even though they're without their workhorse running back, Nick Chubb. And I just think that they're going to rely on Kareem Hunt. And then on the other side of the ball, Myles Garrett, I mean, you can arguably say Myles Garrett is the best all-around football player on the field that's going to be at Paul Brown Stadium. And I just think Browns are going to win, and it's going to be close, but I have it 31-24, the Browns getting the win and the Bengals dropping to 1-5-1.
Tyler, I think it's pretty clear that Myles Garrett's the best player on the field on Sunday.
Well, I mean, you got Odell Beckham Jr. too.
That's my next point. And I think that Odell Beckham Jr. and Denzel Ward are the second and third best players on the field. The Browns are a topic of conversation right now because they probably aren't as good as their record says they are. However, they've already shown their great matchup against the Bengals team that really doesn't have the pass rush right now to get a Baker Mayfield against the Bengals team that doesn't really have a great solution to put in front of Myles Garrett. And against the Bengals team who, when Denzel Ward's defending the Bengals top receiver, that really limits what Cincinnati's offense can do, especially because Cleveland's pass rush is so good that it'll force the Bengals to keep in Drew Sample and the running back to block more often. I think Joe Burrow put up points. I think Joe Mixon will have a decent game. I think the Bengals offense will look similar to what it did on Thursday Night Football, which was probably their second best offensive game of the year. But I think there are some major issues on the other side of the ball that will lead to the Cleveland Browns winning 35-20.
Oh, that's to be determined. Week 7 here, round 2, Bengals and Browns. Make sure you check it out, Cincinnati.com. Plenty up there, 3 keys. There's going to be a preview. We'll have an extra with PFF, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland.com side, and we'll hear what she has to say about this game. What else is up there, fellas?
We'll have a story why the Bengals desperately need a win this week, and we all predicted them to lose, so that's that's not looking good. And another story on AJ Green and Joe Burrow and how they are hoping that they can build on their week 6 success. AJ Green said he feels like the old AJ, so that is big news and music to the ears of all Bengals fans and the entire organization.
I have a feature up today on T. Higgins and an old rivalry with a current Cleveland Browns wide receiver that led to some of the birth of the competitive spirit that's led him to be one of the best rookie receivers in the NFL.
Make sure you check it out, Cincinnati.com. The guys will have you covered pre and post game for week 7 when the Bengals take on the Browns. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast. Now we're going to talk to Mary Kay Cabot, one of the best covering the Cleveland Browns. You're going to want to check out her work. Mary Kay, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. How you doing?
Not too bad. Again, it's good to hear from you. It's round 2. It's hard to believe for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. But let's go ahead and get to the quarterback play right now, because I know Baker has been dealing with a little bit of a rib injury. Is he going to be good to go for Sunday?
Yes, he is absolutely good to go for Sunday. He's been limited in practice again, but he made it through that Steelers game okay. He took some hard shots. He was sacked 4 times. He was hit a couple of other times after the throw, but he came out of it okay. So he's not feeling great. A lot of people are banged up at this time of year. He's one of them, but he'll be okay. He's going to start the game.
What's his, you know, mindset going into week 7? I've been hearing rumblings that, you know, he's been frustrated and, you know, tired of the negative criticism that he's getting. What's his mindset going into, you know, this game against the Bengals?
Well, I do think that he needs to get his confidence back. I think it's, I think it's a little shaken. He just doesn't seem super confident when he's trying to operate from within the pocket. He's not really seeing the field all that well at those times. Now, that's hard to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are a swarming defense. They came into that game leading the league with 5 sacks a game as it was. And they really kind of roughed him up and didn't give him a whole lot of time to throw. So I think when he plays the Bengals, he'll look a lot better, obviously, than he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this is a game where, you know, he kind of just needs to get himself back on track. He needs to get back to having fun playing football and, most of all, trying to connect with his receivers.
You mentioned connect with his receivers. how would you rate his chemistry with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Well, it's definitely still a work in progress. They just don't have a whole lot of chemistry together, those guys, especially on the longer passes. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. right now is 40th in the NFL with 23 receptions. I mean, think about that. We're talking about one of the most talented receivers in the NFL to only have 23 catches at this time of the year. But that is just a hallmark of how much this passing game has been struggling all season long. They've kind of lived and died by the run and by takeaways on the part of their defense. Baker hasn't gotten his passing game going really yet in this new offense, and he's looking to do that soon.
I'm putting you on the spot here. Is Baker the long-term answer in Cleveland at quarterback?
Well, I wrote a column about that this week. I think it was just yesterday, actually, that, you know, they really, to this point in this season, he has not shown them yet that he is their franchise quarterback. And here he is in his third year, and really, it is still a question mark. This is still a pivotal season for him to try to go out there and prove that he's the guy. Now, one of the reasons why it's so important right now is because they have a team that is built to win all around him. They have 7 Pro Bowlers on that offense. And what they don't really have right now is a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's 26 in the NFL in rating. According to Pro Football Focus, he's like down at 31 or 32 or something like that. So he's just not performing the way that they need him to perform. Now, again, it's his first year in a new scheme. But the question is, does this team have the time to try to figure out over the next year or two, can he come up the learning curve and be that guy?
I want to go to the offensive line right now because I feel like one of the underrated hires is Bill Callahan as a coach. What has he been like for this offensive line?
Well, he's been tremendous. I mean, he's just one of the best in the business, and it's a really, really good offensive line. Now, right now, their right guard, Wyatt Teller, who really was grading out higher than anybody else, he's injured with a calf strain, and he's not going to play this game. He hasn't practiced this week, so he'll still be out. Chris Hubbard is in there at right guard. But other than that, it's a really good, strong offensive line. Didn't necessarily look like it in Pittsburgh, but it's a lot better than what they showed, in part because Baker's holding the ball too long. He held the ball for about 3.2, 3.3 seconds in Pittsburgh, and that's just not going to cut it. But Bill Callahan is tremendous. He's doing a great job with the rookie left tackle, Jedrick Wills. And, you know, he just got the line playing very well.
When it comes to the ground game, I think the Bengals defense will have nightmares of what happened when they had Nick Chubb out there. They're without Nick Chubb going into this game, but Kareem Hunt, what's that transition been like for the run game?
Well, you know, you're always going to miss Nick Chubb, who's one of the best runners in the NFL. But Kareem is one of the best runners in his own right. It's just that he ran up against 2 of the best run defenses in the NFL in the past 2 weeks. So I don't think it was just, you know, oh, Kareem is nowhere near as good as Nick. I think it was all of a sudden Kareem was running up against a brick wall. So now he's got a rib injury, too. There are a couple of guys with rib injuries. Jarvis Landry revealed to us today that he is playing with a broken rib. Okay. So that's a tough way to go when you're a receiver, obviously. Kareem Hunt has a rib injury and Baker does too. So this is like the rib game.
Well, let's go on the defensive side. Myles Garrett is 2nd in the NFL in sacks. Is he currently having his best year as a pro?
Yes, he is. He's having his best year, I would have to say, because he's made the game-changing plays. During their 4-game winning streak, he made the strip sack that changed the game in 3 of those games, and then he affected the passer on an intentional grounding that led to a safety in another victory. So he's really been a game wrecker, and you guys saw that in the game against Joe Burrow, how he made the decisive play in that game. And so I think he'll be looking to do that again, and it will be incumbent upon the Bengals to try to get him chipped up and double teamed or whatever it takes.
Okay, we'll get you out of here on this. The Browns are 4-2 on this season, but they beat the Washington football team, Dallas, who looks terrible right now, Indianapolis, who's, you know, inconsistent, and the Bengals once. And then they got blown out by the Ravens and the Steelers. Is their record fool's gold?
You know what? I think we'll know more about that over the next 5 weeks or so. But I do think that it takes a little bit of the luster off of that record when you consider the quality of the opponent of some of them and the way that they got just blown out by the two really good teams that they played in Baltimore and in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I mean, this is a game that Cincinnati, you know, if they can pull themselves together and kind of block out all of their noise. And I think if Joe Burrow shows a lot of rookie leadership, I mean, it's a chance that they could surprise the Browns in this one. I'm actually going to pick the Browns to win this game. But I think it's one where the Bengals could sneak one in here.
You already took my last question. So what's your score prediction? You picked the Browns. What score you got?
You know, I haven't really come up with the score yet, but it'll probably be somewhere either in the high 20s, low 30s for the Browns, and then, you know, maybe 24 or something like that for the Bengals, 20, 24. I really haven't figured out the score yet per se. But like I said, I do think that if these guys can get fired up and motivated for this game, they can make this a football game.